Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Everybody, as you get older, you're going to have to go through some dark times, some pressure times, and time itself. And you have to make decisions about how you want to be in the midst of that. Suffering is a classroom that teaches us different things. We learn different things in the classroom of suffering. This is one of the ways that we gain wisdom, that we grow in virtue. I always tell people, you know, don't waste your sufferings. God isn't punishing you, but He'll use it to help you to grow. God writes straight with crooked lines. He will use your suffering to help you to grow. There's always hope. Remember what I said in the beginning? We're not just on a journey, we're on a pilgrimage, so everything is significant. There is meaning in your suffering. You have to be the one that tries to come to understand exactly what that meaning is. But I've determined in my own life that God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. He knows how to write straight with crooked lines. No matter what I'm going through, there's meaning in it. Because God, remember now, God's the potter and we're the clay. And He is invested in us, wants us to grow, and He's going to help us to grow. So please understand this, that no matter what you're going through right now, it's not devoid of meaning. You have meaning. It's there. It's significant. Please try to understand what you're going through and go forward. So that's my sister. Now we're having a pretty good we're having a much better relationship. And I wanted to tell you that sufferings are key in growth. Oftentimes we gain from suffering something that we could never gain without it. And again, God doesn't give us sufferings. We get it by being human. But God uses the sufferings. What did God do on the cross? He took His only begotten Son and His sufferings, and He used those sufferings to redeem the world. That's why we call this Good Friday. It was through suffering that we have eternal life. I am a passionist. The word passion means enthusiasm or vigor, of course. I try to get people to live with passion. But the word passion also means suffering. It's through the passion of Christ that we're redeemed. It's through the passion of Christ that we have eternal life. So actually, your sufferings can even be significant for other people. Your sufferings can be redemptive for others. Paul the Apostle said, I in my body, I'm making up what lacks for Christ's sufferings for the church. Paul's sufferings were redemptive for the church. My sufferings are redemptive for hopefully you and anyone watching this program. See, what you're going through is significant. This is very deep here. This is a deep subject that I'm talking about when I'm talking about sufferings. So are you getting older or growing older? I remember I was in northern Houston, a place called Conroe, and I was preaching a mission there. It was my second trip there. I'd been there 7 years ago. Nice parish, Sacred Heart Parish. I was preaching a revival at their church. A woman came up to me on the second night. She said, Father Cedric, the first time you were here, a woman named Marie was sitting in the front pew, and she loved your mission. She loved the way that you preach. And she wanted to be here at this mission, but she's now in a nursing home. And I'm a friend of hers. And she's asked if you could come and visit her. And I thought to myself, well, here's this woman that really wanted to be here, and she couldn't. She's in a nursing home. I'll go cheer her up. That's what I was thinking. I go, okay, you know, I'll go. I'm the missionary, and I'm on TV and everything. I'll go visit her in the nursing home. It'll make her day. Well, I went to see her after the mission was over. And I walked in there, I walked into the nursing home, and here's this woman in a wheelchair with a big smile on her face. And she said, Father Cedric, so good to see you. And I met her, and I said, Marie, nice to meet you, and I'm sorry you couldn't come to the mission. And we went and sat down. She told me that she had, I want to get these facts, Parkinson's, her husband died, she's now in a nursing home, she was in a wheelchair, and she couldn't get out anymore. And you should have seen her attitude. The smile on her face, the positive attitude that she had. I went in there to try to cheer her up. she cheered me up. All of a sudden, all my little sufferings and all my difficulties that I was going through and all the stuff that was on my mind, I wasn't even thinking about that because I was looking at her in the way that the obvious choice that she made to grow older and how God had worked in her life to purify her, to bring her a grateful, positive attitude. And I thought to myself, I'm sitting before a saint. You know, I just went in there with the best of intentions trying to cheer her up, and she touched my life. Because I meet people on the other side of the spectrum who get older, and are bitter, and they're grumpy, and they're complaining, and all they care is about themselves and what you can do for them. You see, that's not Jesus. That's not the type of person we've got to become. And what we were taught in this workshop about growing older is the person that you are now is a seed. Remember I talked about seeds, you got to die to yourself, is a seed of who you will become later. For example, if you're grumpy now and you complain now and you're bitter now and you don't really forgive people now, you're probably going to be like that when you get older unless something happens. So if you want to become a thankful, generous person of virtue when you grow older, don't just say, oh, that'll happen down the line. Change now. Because who you are now is a seed of who you will become later. It's really important. So I really believe that Marie was already harvesting that attitude in her life before she got in the wheelchair, before her husband died, before she went into the nursing home. So that when these different storms and the pressure and the darkness and the time came, she grew. She became. Unless the seed die. Die to what? Die to narcissism. Die to selfishness. I teach all the time about going from selfishness to selflessness. That's the pilgrimage of life. And God will work with us to help mold us and shape us. Your life has tremendous significance. I always like to say life is magnificent and significant. It's not just a journey. It's not devoid of meaning. It has tremendous purpose. I think about the ministry that I do in Houston with the 12-step program. I'm teaching here from our monastery, Holy Name Retreat Center, and it's in Houston. 12-step program, all over the place. It's a mecca. They come all the time. Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous. They have meetings just about every day up here. It's interesting. Talk about suffering. In order to get into the program, you have to admit that you have a problem, and that takes rigorous honesty. A lot of people live in denial. They won't admit that they have an addiction because I'm above all that. Maybe it happens to other people, but that doesn't happen to me. Oh, yes, it does. Nobody's exempt. Everybody's human. And so humility is a wonderful virtue that they cultivate in the 12-step program. Not pride, the opposite of pride, the opposite of narcissism, the opposite of thinking you have it all together, because you don't have it all together. You're addicted. So humility, you know where the word humility comes from? Humus. It's a Latin word. You ever seen humus soil? It's black, it's rich, it's fertile. And what happens when the seed is planted, when the seed, remember I've been talking about seeds, Jesus' wisdom, Jesus' philosophy, when the seed is planted in the soil, rich soil, it flourishes, it blossoms, it blooms. Just like Marie, the woman in the nursing home, bloom where you're planted. And how do you bloom where you're planted? When you are humble, when you have humility, humus soil. In the 12-step program, it is fertile ground for growth as a human being. That's exactly why they meet in recovery and they go to meetings, because they're trying to grow as a human being. And what are they growing in? Temperance, patience, discipline, trust in God, because you have to surrender to God to come into recovery from an addiction. So any of you that have an addiction, that can be the pressure and the darkness and the time and the place for your seed to die, and if you have humility, to blossom and to grow. See, remember what I'm saying now. We are on a pilgrimage. Everything is significant. Even your addictions are significant. At the Easter Vigil, we sing a song. It's called the Exultat, right before the Gospel. And we say, oh, happy fault of Adam that merited so great a Savior. Even our sins are significant. Our sins can teach us. They can help us to grow. They can help us to grow closer to God, to receive forgiveness, to become virtuous people. People that are in the 12-step program, they're having an awakening. They are humble. They are growing. And they are becoming. And that's really, in some way, even if you're not in a 12-step program, that's the purpose of life. That we be humble, not prideful. Humility itself is a virtue that we must acquire. It's so, so important. Jesus taught about it all the time. So growing older is something that we're all invited to. And acceptance is the key. I remember I had a problem with my knee, and I had to have an operation about 9 months ago. I was devastated. I've always been athletic. I've always been sports-oriented. And when I had the operation, it was very hard for me. It took a lot of patience. But I was looking for the meaning in it all. I had to trust in God. I had to trust in the doctor. And now, you know, 9 months later, I'm able to walk well. I can work out and everything. But I'll compare myself oftentimes with who I used to be. I used to be able to carry my bag golfing 36 holes, then I go run 3 miles. I can't do that anymore. And I would be envious of my past. This is one of the things about getting older or growing older. You can be envious about the way you used to look, about your abilities and what you used to do, the way you used to think, and it can cause a lot of frustration. You have to come to terms with the fact that you're growing older. You have to come to terms and accept the fact that you're different now. And that's part of growing older. And then what I wanted to share with you, besides being envious of the past, you have to focus on what you can do. Now, I can't run anymore and play 36 holes and carry my bag and everything, but I can work out. I can use the elliptical. I can bike. I can swim. I can walk. I can do just about everything that I used to do. So don't be envious of the way you used to be. Accept the way you are now and make the best of it. And don't keep focusing on what you can't do anymore. Focus on what you can do and make the best of it. That's really important. I told you my mother's 90 years old now. And right at this very moment as I'm taping this, she's in the hospital. She's going to need a valve replacement in her heart. My sister's with her. We're all praying for her and everything. But I took her a couple weeks ago for a test in the hospital to prepare her for this surgery. And it's interesting, my mother now, she's 90 years old, and she's become very needy because, you know, she's very tired. And, well, she went through this test, and I mean, she had the anesthesia. She was in the hospital. I was there with her. And the only way to put it is she became a little testy, and she became kind of harsh. So here I am, and many of you are in the same boat. You know, you're a baby boomer. Your parents are getting older. You're used to them looking after you and doing everything for you. And now the tide has turned. And you have to do things for your parents. Maybe you have to bring them food or clean them or help them move in their house or whatever it is, spend time with them. So what I found myself doing, and many people are in the same boat with their parents, with their mothers and their fathers as they grow older, it's an opportunity to grow, for the seed to break open and to die. I had to love her, not just because she's my mother, but unconditionally, sacrificially, because she's very needy right now. And I had to sit myself down and have a talk to myself, even though it was hard to do that. I know she's my mother and everything, but it's still hard when you don't feel like they're being grateful and they're very demanding and they're even being kind of harsh. It's still hard to love. And what I realize is that God has me in this position, like millions of baby boomers that are growing up at this time. God has me in this position and He's stretching me. And I'm becoming a more loving person. I am choosing not to push her away. I want to love her more than ever. I want to love unconditionally. Jesus said that that's the way God loves. His sun shines on the just and the unjust. His rain falls on the good and the bad. He said, if you love people just because they're good to you, what kind of love is that? He said, when you turn the other cheek and you love your enemies, that's the love of God. And so that's growth. That's becoming. As I'm growing older, we have to face these issues. Everybody's facing these different seasons in their life and the different issues they have in their life. And this is one of them, your parents growing older. And how do you respond to them? Do you push them away? Or do you love them unconditionally? It's the same in community. I'm talking about the seed dying, the darkness, the pressure, the time that it takes. And I live in a religious community. Remember I told you I was formed to get into a religious community? You have to live shoulder to shoulder with different men. You can't always look at the TV when you want it because others are watching it. You can't always have the car when you want it because we share everything in common. We eat together, we pray together, we live together, we have separate bedrooms, but it's very close. And sometimes people are abrasive. Sometimes it can be irritating and difficult. And what I'm being called to is forgiveness. And I have to make that choice over and over and over again. Jesus said 70 times, seven times. This is how I'm being stretched. This is how the seed is, through pressure and darkness and time, is breaking open and new life is coming forward. Remember now, this philosophy that Jesus gave us was a revolutionary philosophy. The Greeks had never heard anything like this before, and sometimes we take it for granted, we don't appreciate it. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, he was talking about his passion and also growing older, unless that happens, unless there be a death, then it just remains a grain of wheat, then it just dies. But if it dies, if you die, if you allow the circumstances of your life to help you to grow, if you keep making good choices, you will grow and become all that you can be. And you will live with passion. At that workshop, it was interesting. She talked about the woman who presented the workshop on aging. She made the distinction between getting old and growing old. And she tried to help us to grow old gracefully. Remember now, growing old gracefully has to do with virtue. It has to do with character, has to do with humility, letting God work in us. He's the potter, we're the clay. It has to do with seeing life as significant, that everything has meaning. So she said that there's some telltale signs of a person who grows older versus getting older. And the number one thing that she said in common characteristics, she said, people that grow older versus getting older are grateful. They're appreciative. They give thanks. This is exactly what it says in the scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It is the will of God that you give thanks in all circumstances. Now, do you give thanks for all circumstances? Do I give thanks for my knee being hurt? No, but I give thanks in the circumstance. Do I give thanks for my mother being sick? No, but I give thanks in that circumstance, because God's working in her and in me. And whatever circumstance you have that may be hard, look for something to be thankful for. That's a choice that you make, and you grow older as you make that choice. You don't just get older. You know, years ago there was that movie out called Grumpy Old Men, then Grumpy Old Men Part 2. You can choose to be a grumpy old person if you want, or you can choose to be a grateful older person, if you want. Kind of like Marie, that woman I met in the nursing home. And then the second thing she said to help you to grow older, she said, have a cause. Reach out to people. You're never too old to have a cause. It's amazing how humanitarian people are. For example, Bono from the rock group U2 reaches out to people. Angelina Jolie reaches out to people, and I'm not even sure if they're Christian. So if they can do it, certainly we who are believers can do it. There are so many causes, so many needs, so many people. People in prison, I have a pen pal ministry you can reach out to. There are immigrants that you can help. The homeless, children that need adoption, Big Brother, Big Sister program. There's just a whole bunch of things that you can do. Elderly in nursing homes that you can reach out to. Just simply bringing communion to people, praying for people. So what I'm saying is, if you want to grow old versus getting old, have a cause. Reach out to people. And then, of course, she talked about being flexible, adaptable, resilient. I travel on the road. I go to different places. And I've learned to be, I don't know if you remember the little character on the cartoon Gumby. I've learned to be like Gumby. I mean, sometimes I have hard beds, soft pillows, hard pillows, good sound systems, not so good sound systems, good food, not so good food. I've had to adapt. I'm growing older. I've learned to adapt. Paul the Apostle said, I've learned the secret of being content, of having a lot or having a little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This whole series is about you are more than a conqueror through him who loves us. And you're more than a conqueror when you're virtuous, when you're growing, when you're becoming, when you're not letting your circumstances determine you, when you determine your circumstances by your attitude. Of course, having a sense of humor is really good. I try to do that all the time. And then passion. Living with passion. I got a book in the mail just recently from a woman, and the name of the book was focused on the spiritual life, and it was a book that was called God Recycles Old Dreams. And it's a book all about passion. And at the end of the book, I read the excerpt by the woman. She said, thank you, Father, for inspiring me by your program. I just wrote this book. And she put, P.S., I'm 88 years old. See, that's growing older. You're never too old to dream a dream. You're never too old to have passion. You're never too old to create and to realize your potential and dream. So are you getting old or are you growing old? Life is not just a journey, it is a pilgrimage. I think about a golfer, Colin Montgomery. He's a senior golfer, now 50 years old. You're a senior golfer when you're 50. And it's interesting, he never won in the United States as a regular PGA Tour player. Now at 50, just this year, he's won the PGA and the US Open. Some things get better with age, kind of like fine wine. And I believe that you will too, if you keep making good choices. Are you getting older or growing older? And the whole purpose of this program is to help you to live with passion. I want you to know that you are like a seed. There are going to be dark moments. There are going to be pressure moments. There are going to be suffering moments. But everything is significant. Everything has meaning. We're not just on a journey, we're on a pilgrimage. And as Jesus taught, unless the seed, this is the greatest philosophy ever spoken, I believe, by anybody, unless the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. I think of the 12-step program. I think of people suffering. I think of getting older. I think of humility. Unless you die, you'll just remain a grain of wheat, just a seed. But if you die, new life will shoot. Growth, maturity, and isn't that what life is all about? This is what God is calling us to. I was formed as a passionist. I was formed as a priest. And God is the potter, and we are the clay. And the great meaning of life right now is he's forming us. Jesus grew in age, grace, and wisdom. And that's an invitation. That's symbolic for us growing in age, not just age, but grace, wisdom, virtue, maturity, character, God's great plan. He has predestined us to become the image of Jesus Christ. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.